The Brotherhood has been strengthened. Kingdom Hall construction has provided practical and attractive places of worship, and it has given a good witness to local communities. For example, three brothers met with city officials in Fredrikstad to arrange the construction of a Kingdom Hall in 1987. The officials laughed when the brothers said that they would complete the hall in 3 days. But even on the first day, Friday, it became apparent to the officials that the witnesses would complete the hall as planned. On Saturday, one of the officials brought his brass band to the construction site and had them play music for the volunteer workers, his way of apologizing for his earlier skepticism. "It is incredible that you witnesses can build so quickly," said one woman who watched the Arendal Kingdom Hall being built in 1990. "But it is even more amazing to see all these smiling and cheerful people." Today, there are two regional building committees that supervise Kingdom Hall construction throughout Norway. Willing brothers and sisters have also made themselves available for bigger and more demanding building projects. For example, in 1991 and 1992, the brothers had to expand the branch office, and in 1994, they built a beautiful assembly hall in Oslo. In 2003, a construction team erected a large Kingdom Hall in Bergen, which can be used for congregation meetings as well as assemblies. The cooperation and unity of purpose these projects engender have also had a good effect on Jehovah's servants. "This has helped the congregations to be even more close-knit," says a brother who has helped with Kingdom Hall construction since 1983. "The brotherhood has been strengthened. Strong bonds of friendship have been formed, and our ability to work together has improved." Increased activity at Bethel. After the new branch office was completed, it was possible to increase the staff and do more to benefit the preaching work in Norway. For example, an increasing amount of literature has been translated into Norwegian. A milestone was reached when the entire New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures was published in Norwegian in 1996. The New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures had already been released in 1991. Now, virtually all literature published by Jehovah's Witnesses is available in Norwegian, including the reference work Insight on the Scriptures. The new branch facilities also included a much-needed recording studio. Beginning in the 1960s, convention dramas were recorded in Kingdom Halls and in the attic and the basement of the previous branch building. Conditions for recording were not ideal, and it was often necessary to interrupt recordings because of traffic noise. But the recording studio in the new facilities has greatly expedited the production of dramas, videos, and vocal renditions of our Kingdom songs. The branch also produces recordings of the Watchtower and Awake in Norwegian and has made the entire Bible and several other books available on CD and on the website www.jw.org. Serving where they were needed more. While congregation publishers preach in their own neighborhoods, many publishers and pioneers have traveled to unassigned territories as far north as Longyearbyen on the Svalbard archipelago. Some publishers have moved to various remote places to proclaim the good news and, where possible, help to establish congregations. When Finn and Tordis Jensen got married in 1950, they knew that there was a need for publishers in Hammerfest, one of the northernmost cities in the world. Finn and Tordis did not have much money, but they had strength and determination, and they had bicycles. So they set out on their bicycles from Bodø to Hammerfest, a trip of about 560 miles. When they had covered about half the distance, some friends kindly helped them monetarily so that they could do the rest of their journey by boat. In Hammerfest, Finn and Tordis got busy preaching and inviting people to the public talks that Finn gave each weekend. Jehovah blessed their diligent efforts, and soon they were able to form a small congregation. One of the speakers at the district convention in Trondheim in 1957 encouraged publishers to consider moving to a place where there was a need for preachers. Viggo and Karin Markussen, who lived in Stavanger, were paying careful attention, and Viggo nudged Karin with his elbow. Karin immediately realized the implication of that. "Our days in Stavanger are numbered," she thought. But what would their three daughters, all of whom were publishers between the ages of 11 and 14, think of a move? When the Markussens discussed the talk after the convention, the whole family agreed that they could make themselves available to serve where there was a greater need. In response to their correspondence, the branch office asked them to move to Brumunddal, where there was no congregation. Thus, in 1958, Viggo and Karin sold their modern house, Viggo sold his furniture shop, and the family moved to a simple log cabin close to Brumunddal. Jehovah blessed their self-sacrificing spirit, and in the following years, many of those with whom they studied came into the truth. By the time the girls left home and Viggo and Karin were assigned to serve in the circuit work, there was a zealous little congregation of about 40 publishers in Brumunddal. Young single brothers have also been able to advance kingdom interests by moving to places where there was no congregation. In 1992, a group of pioneer brothers, most of them about 19 years of age, moved to Malawi in Norfjord to follow up interests that had been shown there. They got busy in the preaching work and immediately started conducting meetings in their rented house. A newly interested woman with whom they studied was very hospitable and became like a mother to the young brothers. Later, an elder and his wife moved to Malawi and a congregation was established. The young brothers had a wonderful time in their assignment, conducting many Bible studies, caring for numerous congregation assignments, and strengthening the vibrant new congregation. "That was a spiritual adventure and a unique opportunity to grow spiritually," one of the young brothers said. As a result of the hard work of these and others, there are now about 30 publishers in the Norfjord congregation, and they conduct between 50 and 60 Bible studies. The following is from pages 149 and 150 of the printed edition. He experienced the transforming power of God's Word. Victor Uglebakken, born 1953, baptized 1981. Profile, a former criminal who broke free from demon harassment and drug abuse. Victor started to use hashish and other drugs as a youth and drifted into a life of crime. He had always been interested in the Bible, and in 1979, tired of his rough life, he wondered if God's Word could help him. However, his investigation into various religions left him feeling frustrated and dissatisfied. Eventually, weighed down with depression, Victor contemplated suicide. Then, he received a letter from his cousin in Bergen who had begun studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. Victor went to Bergen and joined the study. At first, he tried to prove that the Witnesses were wrong. But because he had always been concerned about the environment, he was happy to learn that God will bring to ruin those ruining the earth and will transform our planet into a paradise. Revelation 11:18. Victor immediately started attending meetings with his cousin, and he was impressed by the kindness and hospitality he observed at the Kingdom Hall and in the homes of the Witnesses. What he heard and saw convinced him that he had to change his life and stop taking drugs. As a result of his persistent, heartfelt prayers, Victor experienced the transforming power of God's Word and Holy Spirit. Victor's path to baptism was not easy. Only with Jehovah's help was he able to break free from the harassment of the demons and recover from two relapses with drugs. He was helped when an elder reassured him that as a father shows mercy to his sons, Jehovah shows mercy to those fearing him. Psalm 103:13. Victor continued to grow spiritually and was baptized in 1981. He still needed to serve a prison sentence for a past crime, but soon after he was released, he started to pioneer. Since then, he has had the joy of helping many others to become servants of Jehovah. He has been particularly successful when preaching in prisons, and two of the inmates with whom he studied have come into the truth. Victor has established himself as a reliable family head and elder. He continues to serve as a pioneer along with his wife Tona and their son. "The ministry was one of the things that changed me," Victor now says. "I am deeply grateful to Jehovah that I can pass on precious spiritual treasures to others." The following is from page 152 of the printed edition. He wanted to do something better. Tom Friesvoll, born 1962, baptized 1983. Profile: a soccer player who wanted to serve Jehovah. When he was 20, Tom had a promising career playing soccer for one of Norway's best teams. Tom's mother was already one of Jehovah's Witnesses. One day, a young pioneer who came to visit Tom's mother offered him a Bible study. Tom accepted, but pointed out that he had no intention of becoming a witness. Tom was touched by the warm welcome he received when he started attending meetings. He also noticed that everyone looked up the scriptures during the program. "It must be the Bible that makes these people so nice," Tom reasoned. Eventually, Tom was sure that he had found the truth and that he wanted to serve Jehovah. How, though, would he persuade his soccer team to release one of their promising players? Amazingly, after he explained to the soccer management that he wanted to use his life for something better than soccer, they released him from his contract. Tom was baptized in 1983 and began pioneering in 1985. In 1987, he moved to Hammerfest with Victor Uglebakken in order to help out where the need was greater. Later, Tom was appointed as a circuit overseer, and he now serves at Bethel with his wife Christina. Returning to the account,